Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. May God be pleased to add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word and guide us this night as we look at this part of this great psalm. Well, throughout the psalm, throughout all of Psalm 119, we have continually had put before us the greatness of the Word of God. As I've mentioned on several occasions as we've been going through this series, that throughout these 176 verses, we have almost every verse mentioning either directly or indirectly something about the psalmist's great appreciation for the Word of God, for his testimonies, his commandments, his promises. And so we see more of the same this evening. In this, a Psalm of David, we see displayed before us the heart of one who has experienced the forgiveness of God, and who now recognizes the fruitlessness of those earthly pursuits, and who now has an even greater taste for the sweetness of the Word of God. Not only do we see encapsulated within this psalm the mind of David, I would argue we also see the mind of Christ on display for us within this psalm. For Christ himself, when he was tempted, demonstrated and exhibited for us, was an example for us of how it was that he relied upon the Word of God. If you recall the example to be found in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, we see that occasion after occasion, as Satan was seeking to tempt him, that the response of Christ was to fall back upon the Word of God. When Satan tried to tempt him by turning those stones into loaves of bread, Christ was quick to remind him that man does not exist upon or thrive upon or need only physical bread. He needs the Word of God to sustain him. Man lives upon the Word of God. And so as we go through this psalm, while we'll be looking at it as a psalm of David, and we can see the heart of David within this psalm, I also would ask that you would be thinking about it as it exhibits the mind of Christ as he went through his time here on earth in his ministry. Because in this psalm, we have a wonderful demonstration of the humanity of Christ. This morning, if you recall, when we looked at Hebrews chapter 8 and we were reminded of Christ now dwelling at the right hand of God within that tent that wasn't made by human hands, it was an expression of a testimony to the divinity of Christ. Here we have within Psalm 119 something that speaks to us of the humanity of Christ so that we might fully comprehend or more fully comprehend the realities of Christ being not only God, not only man, but the perfect God-man who dwelt and served among us. Well, you see, as this psalm begins, the psalmist begins by speaking of the wonders of the testimonies of God. Your testimonies are wonderful. Now, as he is beginning this, he is here giving evidence of the fact that he acknowledges and recognizes God's work. he recognizes the wonderful plan that God has laid out within his word. It demonstrates to us a familiarity with the word of God, that it is something that is a regular part of his life, that his wonder has grown. And we find this to be the case, that our appreciation for the word of God is not something that just magically happens. It is something that God is pleased to see grow and develop, to take deep root. As we spend time in the word, it grows and increases. And so we see here in this example of the Psalm of David, this is another evidence of the maturation, his becoming more mature in his understanding, that he is able to see and more fully comprehend the wonders of God's word. And we see here that these wonderful testimonies, these things that he now understands to be true, are the reason for his obedience. He now understands them to be true. If you think back to your life before the Lord laid hold of you and drew you to himself, our thought in our sinfulness was that the law of God was confining, or that in some way it was robbing us of the pleasures of this life, and that it was a killjoy. But it wasn't until the Lord did his wonderful work within our hearts that he was pleased to give us minds that could comprehend how God's word, his promises, his commandments were intended for and would bring about that good for us. That our thinking was so confused in our sinfulness, but now we understand these wonderful truths of God's word. Now, on several occasions within the passage that is before us this evening, we deal with this matter of light. And in verse 130, we see that the psalmist says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." Later on, he's going to speak in verse 132 of, "Turn to me and be gracious to me." Or later on in verse 135, "Make your face shine upon me, your servant." And you might recall the wonderful blessing of God that often is given at the end of our service, where we speak of desiring and where God is pleased to bestow upon you and I his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may he give you peace. Well, here in this portion of God's word, we see him saying, "Your words give light." Now again, in our life, when we were under the influence and we were dead in our transgressions, we had no aspirations for the light. We were better likened to those cockroaches who scurry every time we turn on the light switch underneath our refrigerator to escape the light. They don't want anything to do with the light. But in Christ, our yearning now is for that light. We don't like being without the light. We don't like being in darkness any longer. We have tasted the light, and we want more of the light. And we see that aspiration of the psalmist within this portion of Psalm 119. "The unfolding of your words, as I study and meditate upon your word, God, you are pleased to illumine my mind and allow me to understand the truths of your word. And for me, that's a comfort." Well, isn't that what we see around us in Western PA? Western PA, we get what? Less sunshine than the rest of the United States. I think Seattle gets more sun than we do. Some of you are outside enjoying that sunshine this afternoon. And that's what we see in Western PA, isn't it? When the sun comes out from behind the clouds, what happens in our communities here in College Hill and around Western PA? Everybody comes outside in order to bask in that glorious sunshine because they're fearful it may go away. Well, the wonderful thing about the light that God is pleased to give us from his word is that is a light that doesn't go away. It only grows in its intensity. And under the the effect of that light of God's word, there is a transformation that God is pleased to be working out within us. If you think back to the account of Moses going up onto Mount Sinai, where for 40 days he sat there in the glorious presence of God in his glory as God gave him the law. You recall what happened when Moses came back down off of that hill. Moses came off of the hill and his face was radiant, so much so that the people of Israel couldn't look upon it, so much so that Moses had to put a veil over his face. So great was that transformative power of the word upon him, having basked in the glory of God. Now, here the psalmist is impressing upon us that a source of this glorious light that God uses in our life stems from his word. Sometimes we may think that we need something miraculous. We need to stand in the presence of God upon a Mount Sinai where God's glorious light shines upon us, and there we'll be transformed. But here the psalmist is saying, God has been pleased to give to you and to you and me the same glorious light as he has been pleased to preserve this revelation of his for you and I. The unfolding of your word gives light, and it imparts understanding to the simple. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I think of myself as being pretty simple. I'm in great need of God's leading and his Spirit's work within me, that as I read the word, I may understand it and comprehend it and rightly apply it to all areas of life. And here is David as he writes about these things, and he is recalling how God's law has been so at work within his life, the comfort that he has found within that word of God. And it's even more vibrant in his thinking because he can recall some of the depths, those seasons of sin that he has gone through, and God's gracious drawing him forth from it into that glorious light once again. As we go on, we see that from this word of wonder, God is pleased to awaken within us a longing for and after his commands. In verse 131, we see, I open my mouth and I pant. A picture here of perhaps that deer that has been running, that is trying to take in all that he can of that precious commodity of air. Here we see David says, I open my mouth and I pant because I long for your commandments. He yearns to be nourished. He yearns to be sustained from God's commands. No longer is he wanting to run away from these commands. No longer does he see them as a burden to him, but rather he now sees them as life-giving and sustaining and essential for this life. They are what give him strength. We mentioned earlier this idea of God bestowing his glory upon us, this blessing that we often will have at the end of our service, that we'll have at the end of this service. In verse 132, he says, turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Again, the psalmist here is delighting to have the face of God before him. He wants God to be present in front of him. He wants to feel the glory of God around him. He wants the grace of God showered upon him. He doesn't want to be separated from. He doesn't want that distance that we all yearned for in our rebellion. Rather, he wants to be near to his heavenly Father, that he might enjoy the security that is ours as God is near to us. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Here we see that the word of God provides stability for the psalmist. And here the psalmist uses God's own promises, saying, this God you have revealed within your word is your way, the way in which you will deal with those who love you. And so, Lord, I call upon you as you have said, you will be gracious, you will be with your people, you will dwell among them. Lord, do so. Be near to me now, those who love your name. As the psalmist goes on in verse 133, we see here he sees within the word of God something that sets for him, sets out a path for him to walk with confidence, to travel in security. And he knows that he doesn't have the power to do it. Certainly David could see this. David needed to be sustained by the hand of God. He needed to be directed by the Spirit of God in his walk. When he had leaned upon his own understanding, he had found himself in great depths of sin. But here he cries out to God, "Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me." One of the wonders of this word is that it causes us to delight in and desire after obedience to God. No longer do we want to fall prey to these sins. And we see as God is pleased through his Holy Spirit to work out that process of sanctification within us, we grow each day more stable, founded upon that word, able to flee and resist those temptations he puts before us. And we don't attribute that to our own strength. We don't take personal pride in that. But we give all of the credit of that great work which is being undertaken within each one whom God has called to himself to be his glorious work. Something that further reinforces our love of this glorious light, of this great revelation that he has been pleased to preserve for us. We see in verse 134 that within this section here, the psalmist says, "Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts." Lord, I no longer want to be the slave of sin. I no longer want to be held by another master. I want you, Lord, to be the one who occupies my every thought, who guides every deed I carry out. Lord, who shapes the speech of my lips, that at all times it may be done to your glory and in accordance with your word. Lord, I want to be your slave, a slave of righteousness. Lord, I want the security of knowing I'm doing those things and aspiring after those things which you have lovingly laid forth within your word that are a safeguard for me and that ultimately end in a glorious eternity in your presence. Again, we go back to this idea of the glory of God being upon us in verse 135. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Again, we aren't only desirous of God's glory being upon us that we would feel that glory, but rather we want to be transformed by that glory. We want to grow in our understanding. We want to be shaped and molded by our Creator into that image that He had always intended us to be before the effect of the fall. And our aspiration is for that work to be completed when Christ comes again and God is pleased to glorify us and we take on that form that he had always intended for his creation. A glorified form where the image of God is clearly seen, where just like Moses, we are able to reflect that wonderful glory of God that is the result of his nearness to us, our communion with him, our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Now, as we draw to the end of this passage, we see that the effect of God's word upon us as he is pleased to mold and shape us to his purposes is that it does have an effect upon our wills. Our wills come into conformity with the will of God. And as such, we see here the heartfelt effect of the sin that is around David. Or we see this in the life of Christ when he looked across the city and we read that Jesus wept because he saw the sheep were scattered. When he saw that they were without a shepherd, their need of a shepherd, he wept. Well, here we see in verse 136 the response of God's people as they see the brokenness. And we've been confronted with that over these past weeks as we have heard the panic on the radio, as we have seen the protests, as we have seen the looting and the chaos that has ensued, as we have seen the heartbreak from injustices and loss of life that have occurred. It evokes within us a heaviness of heart as we see these manifestations of sin. And may it be that we don't merely have an emotional response to these things, but that we rightly understand these things are an outworking of the brokenness that is the result of sin. That the need that exists in this world, whether it be in our local community, whether it even exists within our homes or exist within the confines of our own hearts, stem from sin and a need for the law of God to be applied, for the gospel to be proclaimed, for men, women, and children to be confronted with these truths, that God would be pleased to bring them into his glorious light and to fix and remedy these ailments before us. Here we see that the psalmist, as he thinks about this glorious word and then he looks around him, his eyes shed streams of tears. When we read from 2 Kings 22, we saw that as the response of the king after God's word, after such a long period of being laid aside and forgotten and not being used to guide them in their worship of God. When it was discovered, his response was to tear his robes, and he wept, and he was penitent for these things. So too should be our attitude as we look out across the world and we see this brokenness and the great need for the gospel, that God would so move us not merely to be able to identify this brokenness, but rather that he would be pleased as he works within us to use us for his purposes as instruments in his hand, to be part of the solution by proclaiming the truths of God's word as he puts men, women, and children across our path. We see here that God's word captures our hearts. It moves us to sadness when the brokenness and rebellion of the world is seen. But it doesn't leave us in a position of desperation, but rather, as here the psalmist understands the value of the word, he understands that tool which God has been pleased to give to his people that will guide and direct him as he is used of his glorious God, as you and I are used by our glorious God to meet these needs and opportunities around us. And so as we looked at this passage, we saw that it was certainly a good expression of the life and heart of David. It spoke to us from some of the conditions and cares and thoughts of Christ as he walked through this earth and was sustained by the word of God and given direction by it. But it is also our guide and our great treasure that we have the privilege and the opportunity to study it day by day, to delve into the depths of God's word and to grow in our understanding of him and the sufficiency of what he has revealed of himself to guide us in all matters of faith and life. And as we grow and develop, as our congregation grows and develops, may God be pleased to use us for his purposes, for the glory of his name, as we have the distinct privilege of taking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ into a world that is in need, as we have opportunity to share that glorious good news as an encouragement to one another, as we even have opportunity to minister to our covenant children from this glorious good news, that the Lord may use it to plant that important seed within their heart that will grow and thrive for the glory of his name, for the strength of the next generation, and the growth and extension of his church forevermore. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who reveals himself, that does not leave to man in his broken state the terror of trying to approach you on our own terms and in our own ways. But rather, Lord, you are pleased to reveal yourself and to lay out your glorious commands, your testimonies, your precepts, your promises, that we may be transformed as you are near to us, even through your word. Lord, we pray that you would so work within us that we hunger and long for your word. Lord, that we are not content to allow a day to go by where we do not study your word and think upon it and contemplate what you have said and how it would guide us through our day from your word. Lord, that we would understand as we spend time within your word that as we do so, we are with you. And you are pleased to be within us through your spirit, guiding and directing us and applying your word that we might grow in our understanding. Lord, we thank you that your word provides for us a guide, a path through this life. That as we go through the ups and the downs, the challenges that exist within this life, the result of the sin that is ever around us and within us, Lord, you are faithful. You guide and direct us. You see us through these things. And you continue to carry out your great work within us. Lord, we pray that as we would give ourselves to the study of your word, you would be pleased to work out within us greater and greater courage and boldness to lean upon your word and to speak your word to those around us, whether they be in school, in the workplace, Lord, whether it be with those relationships and those relatives that are nearest to us, Lord, who need to hear that glorious gospel. Lord, give us courage and strength that we may stand upon your word, that we might, out of love for those who are hurting, proclaim this good news, and that we might see with new eyes that you've been pleased to give us, and hear with our ears, and understand with our mind the work that you are pleased to do. For Lord, it is your work. And we thank you for the honor that you give to us to even play a small part as your instruments in your mighty hands. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.